Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, March 28th, 2025. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in Into Action, page 86, the third paragraph, starting with and thinking about our day, and ending with, we come to rely upon it. Reading today, we have Tenzin P. for the Steps, the 12 Traditions, Jen P., starting us off at the text is Lynn F. Hani Etar is going to read 164 at the end of the meeting. Our backup reader is Katie G. Newcomer greeter is Neon P. Second hour host is Roz G. And Kathy S. is going to take care of announcements. All right, our reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, the 27th of March, 2025, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 22,293. That's 22293. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,294. So that's 22294. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group must have one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And Tenzin P. is going to take care of the steps right now.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tenzin. Next up is Jen P. with the 12 Traditions.
Good morning, Russ. Good morning, everyone. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thanks, Denton. Thanks, Jen, for doing that. All right. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study, and we're into action page 86, the third paragraph, starting with, in thinking about our day. And it ends with, we come to rely upon it. And Lynn F. is going to start us off today.
Thank you, Russ. Good morning, family. This is Lynn F., recovered in Pennsylvania. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here, we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity for service and sharing on this beautiful paragraph. And I am just amazed at each line as I read this morning. I'm also, you know, considering each line's worthy of a deep dive. And in this design for living that's laid out for us, how do I live each day in my life, in my body? This week, I gratefully celebrated 18 years of abstinence. And while I may still be, I'm still aiming in this work. I still aim to follow the directions precisely, because it's a way of living for me that is worthy of work. And what I often know, or what I often say, is I can't stay abstinent on yesterday's work. It's all new today. For me, I can wake up, I wake up more easily aligned with God. But as I begin and move through the day and people, places, and things interact with me, I'm more likely to get off beam. And I'm more likely to not remember these directions. So I need to have some concrete examples in my life. I need to set a timer. I need to remind myself to check in. This idea here, we ask. It's a prayer. It's giving me direct directions to pray, to relax and take it easy. These are not programmed for me. These take practice. It takes work. It takes walking with fellows who are doing it so I can see it in their lives, but also be given the direction, maybe in a way that I didn't hear it. I love the line that says, it gradually becomes. These words are so gentle. The last line, nevertheless, we think our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. I think of a path in the woods. When I start, if I'm just traipsing through the woods, you know, the path isn't worn. But if I take the same path, you know, the next day, it wears down a little bit more and I can see where it's going. And I have to be willing to do that with my higher power today. My own will earn me a seat in this room, which I'm very grateful for. Today, I'm willing to take direction and to align with my higher power and to trudge with each of you. Thank you so much for allowing me to share, and have a wonderful Friday.
Thanks, Lynn. All right, so now we're going to open up the lines for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you share Wednesday or Thursday, please step back while others to share. I need your first name, first initial of your last name, and the state you're calling from. Let me know. Come on.
Janet.
Rachel K.
All right. I got Janet B. Rachel K.
Catherine A.
Joe B. from Colorado.
Larry K.
Hold on.
Hannah Yetta.
Okay. So I got Janet B. Rachel. I got Janet B. Rachel K. Larry K. Someone from Colorado.
Yeah, Lisa Melissa, Joe B. from Colorado.
Melissa C. Lisa Joe.
Connie Yetta.
Thank you.
Okay.
Catherine A.
And Carolyn S.
Okay, Connie Yetta.
Judith,
I think there's a Catherine. Catherine?
Carolyn from New York.
Did you get Connie Yetta R?
I got you.
Thanks.
Carolyn. And what's your first initial of your last name?
S is in Sam, New York.
Okay. And then Judith. But there was one other person there, I think. I think there was one other person that I missed. Hello. Okay, we're going to go with this list. Janet B., Rachel K., Larry K., Lisa Joe B., Melissa C., Honey Yetta R., Carolyn S. and Judith R. All right, Janet, you're up.
Good morning, Ross. Good morning, everyone. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So I was just drawn to that line, like being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God. And I know for me, I can read these lines so many times that they just lose their wow factor to me. But they're telling us that in this program, we make conscious contact with God, like a relationship, just like I have a relationship with my husband or my friends. I can have a relationship with God. And, you know, before this program, I guess you could say I had a relationship with God. It was one where I was the master and he was the servant, that I was the person and he was the genie in the bottle. And here's how I treated him. God, come out of your, I didn't actually say this, but this is really what I was doing. God, come out of your bottle, grant me my wish, which was either to have this boy like me or for me to stop binging. Grant me my wish and then go in your bottle and leave me alone. I treated him like a servant. But this book, this beautiful book, tells me the appropriate relationship I need to have with God so that I can be in contact with him. And that's a relationship of surrender. So what does that mean? It means, as our book says, either God is everything or else he's nothing. It means I surrender everything to God. I don't say, God, please take my food obsession. You can be Lord of my food obsession, but then go out and cheat on my taxes and be dishonest and, you know, be a nasty person. It doesn't work that way. But when I surrender everything, right, my creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me. When I give him myself, then I have the appropriate relationship with him. I'm in contact with him. And when that happens, just like this paragraph says, he inspires me as to what I need to do during the day. And of course, he removes my food obsession. When I give him everything, he is overjoyed to remove my food obsession. And as I said before, in my experience, that's just his opening act. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Janet. Appreciate it. Next up is Rachel K., followed by Larry K.
Thanks, Russ. Hi, I'm Rachel K., recovered compulsive overeater in Indiana, and congratulations. I think Lynn was our first out on 18 years of abstinence. I love this paragraph. When I was in the food, when I was deep in my disease, I did not have to make any decisions. The only decision I had to make was, do I go buy Taco Bell first or McDonald's first? You know, that was easy. You know, food completely numbed me out from having to make any kind of decisions. And so when God lifted the obsession and the compulsion, I can remember in my first few weeks of abstinence, standing in a Ross Dress for Less, like agonizing for 30 minutes over which two identical white t-shirts to buy. I mean, it was horrible. And that's because I was newly abstinent. I hadn't gotten through all the steps yet. And what this step does is gives me, you know, concrete instructions. You know, it doesn't say we turn this over to God, we ask for inspiration, and then we keep on thinking about it and debating the merits of choice A and choice B. Like, I have to turning it over, surrendering it to me means I don't think about it anymore. Whether it's two t-shirts, which is, you know, who cares, or, you know, it's which graduate program to go to. It's like, okay, God, it's yours. You know, God gave us brains to use, yes, but after I have used my brain, then it's God's. Then I don't think about it anymore. And also I find that fear when I get into indecision is fear that I'm going to make a mistake, that I won't be okay if I choose, quote unquote, the wrong decision. And countless times over and over when I go to God, I get the message back that there is no, quote unquote, wrong decision. There's no wrong decision. A wrong decision would be to intentionally hurt myself or to hurt somebody else. But as long as I am not doing that, I'm not lying, I'm not being dishonest, I'm not being hurtful, then whichever path I take, God is going to take care of me no matter what. You know, I picked the wrong car. You know, it turns out I don't like it as much. I'll be fine. The earth is not going to crumble. And so the big part is we relax and take it easy because God's going to take care of me no matter which door I go through. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. Everybody have a great weekend and I'll pass.
Thanks, Rachel. Appreciate it. Next up is Larry K., followed by Lisa Jo B.
Hey, Russ. Good morning. Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. Thanks for your service. You know, I live along the lakefront, along Lake Michigan here in the city. And oftentimes I'll walk along the lakefront, especially now that the weather's changing a little bit, but even when it's colder. And I see, you look along the lakefront, you'll see a bunch of birds. Typically, which is really cool to see. And I was thinking about this in the context of what we read you know, for me, relying on God is like these birds that I see. They're gently soaring on the wind, the windy city, right? It does get a bit windy here. And it doesn't flap its wings frantically, but it seems to trust the currents to lift it higher, you know? And so for me, by resting in this divine support, like the bird, I can glide effortlessly. Doesn't mean that it's not going to be windy. It's not going to be, but I experience freedom and peace knowing it's that I'm guided to its destination, just like the birds. And so I can, the program allows me to trust in God over time. And I have to fly. I have to soar. And I also thought about I was talking to someone this morning who's going through a challenging time. And, you know what comes from mud, from the mud? Lotus flowers. Beautiful lotus flowers. And it symbolizes for me the beauty and the purity arising from difficult circumstances. And in a spiritual context, it illustrates for me on how I rely on God. Relying on God leads to growth and transformation from the mud, just as the lotus flower rises beautifully above the muddy waters. Faith in God, for me, helps me to overcome challenges and emerge stronger. I find hope and purpose amid adversity. And so, you know, the reliance on divine guidance can turn life struggles into opportunities for personal and spiritual development. And that's what this is all about. I trust God, regardless of if it's windy, if it's turbulent air, whatever it is. I rely on God in good times and bad. I trust. And we flex our, we learn this. We flex a little bit. We flex our muscles. We practice, and we get stronger in this relationship. Thanks for your service, Russ. I pass. Take care.
Thanks, Larry. I appreciate you. next up is Lisa Jo B., followed by Melissa C.
Good morning, everyone. It's Lisa Jo B. in Colorado. I so love this paragraph. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. It's such good instruction. It's so clear and so pure. And it's exactly what I ask God for every morning. It's like I come to him in reverence. I beg him for inspiration, for an intuitive thought, or a decision, because I know without his help I'm powerless. I'm going to make a crappy choice. Or I'm going to act impulsively. I'm an impulsive person, whether it's with food or with other things. And God has taught me how to slow down and be intentional and consciously be in contact with him and to reach out and embrace my relationship with him. And it's beautiful. And I just love this. Like when you're inexperienced, it's like, we're probable that we're going to be not be inspired, or we might pay for this presumption that we're going to receive God's message clearly, perfectly all the time. That's because we're human, but I can have trust and faith in him that he's going to guide me and that he is all forgiving. Like if I make a mistake or if I fall off the horse, that he's going to lift me up and bring me into a place of glory and that the battle has already been won. So with that, I'm in. I love you all and thank you for being part of my recovery and greetings and happy Friday. Thanks.
All right, Rob. Thank you very much. Lisa Jogby. I'm looking at all the different names here. Sorry. So before Melissa jumps up on here, let me let you know where we're at if you came to the meeting late. So we are into action, page 86, third paragraph. And thinking about our day, we face indecision, ending with we come to rely upon it. All right, Melissa, you're up.
Hey, good morning, Ross. Thanks so much for your service this morning. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York, and You know, I think about this conscious contact with God, and that, you know, it's not like God hasn't always been there. You know, when we like, you know, that phrase about living in the sunlight of the Spirit, the sunlight has always been there. You know, it's shining on me all the time. That ability to make conscious contact with God, I believe God has always been, you know, there. It's me. I haven't lived in the sunlight of the Spirit because I create the shade. I put the things up in between me and God. And what this, you know, these 12 steps have done is it's helped me get rid of the things that blocked me from living in the sunlight. And so now I have this conscious contact with God. And what happens is I can get it in two different beautiful ways that's described here. One is inspiration, where like something just suddenly, I'll have a trouble, I have a dilemma, I have something going on, and all of a sudden, this thought pops into my brain that I know in no way came from me. And it's like, whoa, like where did that come from? That's brilliant and easy. It seems like when I get that inspiration, it's like, oh yeah, of course, like easy. And then, you know, maybe not easy to do, but easy to accept. And then, you know, for me, that intuition, the other way that God has made conscious contact with me has been, it's not like I suddenly get this thought that I know did not originate with me, but it's sort of like I sort of have this, just this intuition about me, like an instinctive way to handle things as though they were my own thoughts, as though it did not originate outside of me, but it was from within me. And, you know, when I live that way, I seem to make much less difficulties in my life. Not always, not all the time. You know, I got into something a little bit yesterday. I got a resentment towards a sibling. You know, we're walking through this stuff with my mom, and everybody means well, but everybody has a perspective, and you might grow up in the same house, but everybody's different. And, you know, I felt a certain way, but I got quiet and I reached out, you know, to God and sat with it. And it suddenly came to me very clearly what I needed to do. And it was like clean it up and amend and look for peace. And, you know, I'm grateful for these 12 steps because it not just lets me live, you know, without killing myself with food. It lets me live without, you know, killing my relationships with the people about me who love me. And thanks for that. I'll pass.
Thanks, Melissa. Next up is Hannah Yetta R. And then followed by Carolyn S.
Good morning, Russ. Thank you for your service. Thank you for everybody's share. You know, I usually say this to the end, but I think today I'm going to say it now, and that is, if you're new and this seems like, wow, there's no way I'm ever going to get this kind of stuff, just keep coming back. Don't quit 5 minutes before your miracle, because there's miracles out there for all of us, and more than one, many, many miracles. And and if you're afraid or just it's too much, just don't worry about it. It'll happen. It'll really happen. So thinking about, it says, I may make indecisions, but I want to go more onto where it says still being inexperienced. You know, I've been in program for like 4.5 decades. And so sometimes I feel like I'm still inexperienced. I think being still inexperienced or having lots of experience and having just made conscious contact with God or having conscious contact with God all the time, it's still not probable that I am going to be inspired all the time. You know, I make mistakes. I'm a human being. I'm supposed to make mistakes. That's how God made me. And he also has himself there so that we can gravitate towards him and to make sure that we have what we need inside ourselves that he puts there for us. I believe that God is within me, and he's there for me all the time. I like what somebody just said about the fact that the sunlight's always been there. You know, I turn my back on the sunlight. I turn my back on God. He never turns his back on me. He follows me when I turn my back on him. He follows me around because he knows how eventually I'm going to turn back around, which I have done all my life. And then it says, we come to rely upon it. I like to say, and I come to rely upon God. And I know they're talking about it being the steps and this process and, yes, and the hunches. But I also like to put in there that I pause. I have to learn to pause. And for me, pause is being patient, have assurance, be useful, understanding, to surrender an easy desert. Like it says, we relax and take it easy. Easy does it when I pause. And when I pause, my day is great. When I don't pause, I tend to not be inspired. And anyway, so that's what I wanted to say. Thank you again, Russ. Everybody, have a good weekend, a good Shabbos if you celebrate, and that's all I have.
Thanks, honey. Next up is Carolyn S., followed by Judith R.
Thank you so much. This is Carolyn S. in New York, a recovered compulsive overeater, and very grateful to be. There's a lot in this paragraph, but inspiration, an intuitive thought or action or decision. Intuitive. I've come to be able to, I believe, feel God in my gut. And when I'm doing something that I know deep down it is not his will, I feel a tightening and almost a touch of nausea. And when I know I'm doing his will, I'm completely loose and I just feel free. And I feel that peace and that happiness that comes from knowing and doing God's will, which I pray for every day. I've been in program, gosh, it'll be 22 years, actually, which blows me away. One incident, I've had, unfortunately, many periods of relapse, but right now I'm approaching 2 years, which is the longest I've ever had, and I'm just really excited about it and cautiously optimistic because I know myself. Anyway, there was an incident where I had an entire family-sized portion of sweets, like a huge volume. And my heart started beating out of my chest. I swear to God, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And at the time, I was terrified of dying, but I also kept thinking, what an embarrassing way to die. You know, death by sugar. Like she ate herself literally to death. And I wasn't obese, but still, we're talking about, you know, suicide, essentially. Today, I know that each day is a gift. It's a chance to live happy, joyous, and free. And what I pray for every morning is that I can know and do God's will. That if God forbid or, you know, God desire, this is my last day, that I'll be able to approach it without, you know, a ton of regrets for what I didn't do to help myself with God's help or help others. I ask, what is your will? And help me not to struggle, you know, because I am sometimes in quicksand, certainly in relapse, and we know what happens when we try to climb ourselves out of quicksand. We sink faster. And there's that flimsy reed, right, that we reach out for, that we think this is just going to come right out of the ground. It's not going to help me, but we're desperate. So I grab onto that flimsy reed, and it becomes the loving hand of God. There's strength there beyond my imagination. And God is never too busy for me. He's never overwhelmed. There's no limit to what he can do or how many people he can help at once. It's such a huge thing that I can't even like wrap my head around it completely. But I know there's no problem too small for him to care and to help me. And that is a miracle. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Carolyn. Next up is Judith R., and then we'll take in hopefully five more people.
Thanks so much, Rush, and everybody else. Judith R., gracefully recovered in Vermont. I love this sentence. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. So I've been experienced for a long time, relatively speaking, in this life, because I found God. God found me 5 years before God showed me OA. And I would think that I'd be, it would be a lot easier to find God's will every day. And yet, with my very, very busy brain, I sometimes am more listening to that than I am to my higher power's soft, still voice. Which brings me to the reason I love this sentence so much is I noticed maybe a couple years ago that it starts out with the two words being still. And so I took that in the other word, the other way of the word, the meaning of the word still. So being still as in not moving. And it reminded me of something from the two spiritualities or three spiritualities that I love and follow and try to live. The phrase, be still and know that I am God. And in one of my meditation things with people, we say, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. And so every time I read this, I think, be still. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Judith. Appreciate it. All right. So we're going to open up the line for Sharon again. And if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. We all have to share. Who would like to share on this?
Catherine A.
Catherine.
Ken W.H.
Ken.
Kathy C.
Sigrid. Kathy. I think one more.
Anne Marie M.
Anne Marie. All right. So let's go with that. And if we have time, if we can get everybody, which I think we will probably be able to do. Okay. You get what I'm saying. All right. Catherine A., Kenneth W.H., Sigrid F., Kathy C., Anne Marie M. Catherine, you're up.
Hi. It's Catherine A., recovered compulsive reader in Ontario, Canada. You know, relax and take it easy. We don't struggle is my favorite line in this book. And it keeps coming back for me in recovery as I continue to seek out my higher power's will every day. Because sometimes, like just like it says in the paragraph, like sometimes I think I know what my higher power's will might be. Like I know my higher power would have me help others, but sometimes my version of what I believe is going to help others ends up leading me to butt heads with the other people around me, and I know that's not my higher power's will. And so when I start feeling like I'm in struggle, when I start saying things like, oh, I'm struggling with this, I recognize that word is a trigger. It says, yes, that's the problem. The problem is I'm struggling, and my higher power would have me relax, take it easy, don't struggle. And so in those moments, sometimes, you know, I want to pray as hard as I can and seek out my higher power's will. And what I've found, the times when peace comes the most is when I just surrender. When I, you know, I sit down on the floor and I just give up. And I just say, to my higher power, I don't know. I need help. And I just sit in that silence. And sometimes I have to stay in that silence for longer than I would like to. It's not on my timeline. But an answer comes at some point, one way or another. And I've experienced that often enough to trust that it'll happen again and again. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Catherine. Next up is Ken W.H., followed by Sigrid.
Thank you, Russ. This is Ken W.H. from North Carolina, recovered compulsive eater. This paragraph begins with "in thinking about," and the paragraph before says, "on awakening, let us think about." I think he's doubling down here, but and it says, then it says, in the paragraph before, we ask God. And in this paragraph, it says, here we ask God. I think they're trying to get a point across here. And what I've come to understand as I read the paragraph we read today, four times in this paragraph, the word or a word related to inspiration, inspired, inspiration, that's four times in one paragraph. And I read these words as, instead of inspired, I say inspirited. Or, in other words, at the heart of those four uses of the word in one paragraph is the spirit. And that's the spirit of God, as I understand God. And it's that spirit of life that breathes life into me, that breathes God's will into me, is what drives through this period of waking up in the morning or even going to bed at night. This thinker of mine is sometimes a stinker. And I have to be careful with my mind because it wants to go all kinds of places. But this paragraph basically tells me, Ken, just let go. Let the spirit move freely. It will anyway, Ken. And you're welcome to come along for the ride, but it's going to move freely regardless of what you think. And it might be best for me, and it is best for me, to let go, not go, and to let that spirit, that inspiration, make my life that much better, for not only for myself, but for others as well. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Ken. Next up is Sigrid F. followed by Kathy C.
Thanks, Russ, and good morning, everybody. This is Sigrid S. in South Florida. What is here, but again, I need to turn to God, and I need to start first thing in the morning with that because, you know, I'm like the movie 51 Dates. I wake up each day, and my thinking is kind of reset back to my default, and my default is all about me. But when I each morning do reach out, get quiet, and ask for direction, I get it. And it's really not just in the morning. During the day, especially when I'm starting to feel restless, irritable, or discontented, I breathe in God and I breathe out Sigrid. And it's amazing how doing that just a few times can bring me back to a place of quiet and pause, stop the quick pace that my brain wants to move at all the time, relax and take it easy, right? We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. And I know that it's God when it's not a lot of words that are fast and furious and running around like a chicken with their head cut off. It's God when the words that come are simple. Yes. Be kind. Wait. Yeah, that's not one I like a lot. but I get that. I get that sometimes. No, Sigrid, wait. I can't have an answer right now. And that's also something that I struggle with, but gotta let go. And the minute I let go and I trust God with the future, I'm at peace again. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. After you start getting used to doing this, you have less chaos and you have more intuitive thought, that quiet voice within that was always there, but I didn't always pay attention to. Now, when I pay attention to it, I am the most at peace. And that's in the morning, throughout the day, and at night. Thanks for letting me share. I hope everyone has a blessed day.
All right. Thank you. Next up is Kathy C., followed by Amory M.
Good morning, Russ. My name is Kathy C. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Montreal, Canada. And this whole chapter, like, and especially, you know, getting to where we're at here, having done our step 9 amends, our inventory, starting this new way of life, this new way of thinking, clearly a new way of behaving. And it came to me when, you know, my sponsor, she said to me, one of my sponsors, she said to me, I want you to meditate every day for half an hour. And I was the most crucial, important, vital, direction I got. And I had to, you know, have this because this is what changed me. It wasn't necessarily about the food, although the food had to be abstinent and I had a plan of eating, but it was, what am I thinking? What am I believing? And that will change my behavior. I didn't know that then, but I just went along. And if we see here, you know, these paragraphs, it talks about our thinking, right? It says it many times, direct what? My thinking. What's my thought life? My thinking has to be cleared, right? In this thinking, we may face indecision. Here we ask God for an intuitive thought or decision. So, you know, being inspired. Why? Because I really couldn't. I didn't have a power greater than myself. It reminds me also, page 23, right? It says that the main problem of the alcoholic or the compulsive eater or the spiritually ill centers in my mind. See, the food was a big distraction. My body weight was a big distraction to what was really, you know, necessary or needing or missing. And that is a connection, a conscious contact with God, a power. I had so many blockages. And the only way to be unblocked, even today, every day, is really asking God, what is your will for me? Because I believe, because I had done it, I've been doing it for 4.5 years now, it's a better way of thinking and believing and being. So I don't compulsively eat. Why? Because that has been removed. What God does for me today, it helps me flourish in my relationships to be the person who I know I am meant to be, right? And it encompasses love, compassion, empathy. How can I be helpful today? Where can I be most helpful, most useful? That's really my purpose. There's where I really get that full, you know, contentment, the peace. And it's just peace of mind. It's not peace of food anymore. It's really this ongoing, constant, and I do this constant, and it works. You know, so the only thing that ever will ever bring me anything, it's really just the relationship I have with God, a higher power. Thank you. I will stop there. I pass. Thank you, everyone.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Next up is Amory M. And I think we could take one more after that, hopefully.
Good morning, Russ. This is Amory M. in South Carolina, miraculously recovering from compulsive eating and just very grateful and a grateful mind. This is unbelievable that we're reading this because this morning I woke up late. My day, it's what, 7:49, and my day's not going already the way that I want it to go. And so, you know, in my prayer and meditation, I heard what I heard from God this morning was, and I wrote it down, you must throughout the day ask me for direction. Ask, and most importantly, listen. And I have that we relax and take it easy highlighted and circled. That's where I have the most difficult time is I'm okay about asking. I'm really great about praying. But listening is where I need work and I need to focus. And I also read something else this morning, and I don't have it right in front of me, but I was like a sheep going astray, and now I've returned. And I feel that way about, you know, my compulsive eating. I had gone astray in a different direction, far away from where God wanted me to be. And now I am back on the right track. And so very, very grateful for that. And I just love, I love this book. I love the promises. You know, what used to be, I think of this as a promise, what used to be the hunch or occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. And the last two sentences, or the last sentence at least, we nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, more and more on the plane of inspiration, we come to rely on it. And I can understand or have that thought within me today that I know what's right and wrong, and I'm grateful for that. And that, I believe, is my God consciousness. And with that, I will pass. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. So we got time for one more share. Who would like it?
Sherry A.
All right.
Sherry A.
Sherry A.
You got it.
Marion A.
Sherry A. Got it? Okay.
Good morning, everyone. This is such a powerful paragraph. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought or decision. We relax, we take it easy, and here's my line. We don't struggle. I've known God all my life. So I thought, yeah, it'd be easy to just find God every day in everything. Nah. Because I've known God all my life, I've taken God for granted. I've put my trust in my own opinion of who he is. I've gone to him with my wish list, but I haven't gone to God as God. I haven't gone to God and just waited. I haven't gone to God and just listened. I haven't gone to God and just allowed God to direct and be God. But this paragraph, we relax, we take it easy. The frazzled thinking that becomes my brain where I'm trying to understand and I'm trying, okay, God, so you want me to relax. So what does relax look like? Can you explain that to me? Can you break that down? Can you make it make sense? We don't struggle. We just pause. I sometimes look at myself as the lost coin in the house. Or the lost son who was at home. Like, I'm there. I'm around it. Everything is happening around me, and I'm seeing. But I am not at peace. I am not centered in him. And so I am just grateful. I'm grateful for everyone else's share. I've taken so many notes, especially that one that said pause. I didn't get the S, but oh, beautiful. But I am thankful for this. We don't struggle. We just pause. We take it easy. We be still in him, knowing that he who has called us to recovery will take us through recovery. He who has called us and drawn us unto himself will hold us secure in himself. We don't struggle. We take it easy. With that, I pass. Thank you for allowing me to share.
All right, Sherry, where are you calling from, Sherry? I don't have your state here.
Sorry, I had already muted. I'm calling from Ontario, Canada.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Sherry's going to be our last share for today. And thank you to everyone who shared on this meeting. Everybody did service, and everybody did service for Fridays in March. We really appreciate it. Stay tuned for the next meeting after closing. It's an unrecorded meeting. And now we're going to have I forgot the share IDs. So the share ID for today, Friday, March 28th, 2025, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,296. That's 22296. And now we're going to have Hannah yet to read the passage from the big book to end the meeting. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Russ, again. Which I didn't say last time was, my name is Hannah Yetta R, and I am from Texas, Plano, Texas, just outside Dallas. Okay. Our book was meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will continually disclose more to us. I'm sorry, more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation that you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come. Of course, your own house has to be in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you have, what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.